And you find as we get into this lesson right here, as you have read, and God says a phrase that's just incredible to me. He says, you know what? This is the 10th time these people didn't complain since we left to go to the promised land. 10 times. He says, I'm counting it. This is a book of numbers, right? 10 times. Think about that. Now, on your journey, because we're in the wilderness as well, how many times can you count the times that you've complained to God about something? Especially something that he said that he was going to give to you. So let's take it home then. Let's take it home then. Anybody ever received a gift from somebody and they complained about that gift? They knew they were going to get it, anticipating it, and you're right there on the cusp of receiving it, and all of a sudden, you're not satisfied with it, or you don't like it, or for whatever reason it is. I want you to think about this for a second spiritually. God keeps his promises, doesn't he? All of the time he keeps his promises. What about us? God promised us salvation. We trusted him enough to be baptized into Christ that we might be among the saved. How are we doing now? What's our complaint? Let me just put it like this, because we got more than one, right? So what's our main complaint with God? Let's read these two chapters, and we're going to go over these two chapters and see what we're talking about when it comes to faithlessness and failure. And just like we do every Sunday, let's start off with what you think the lesson's talking about. Who wants to start that? What you got out of it when you was reading? Go ahead, sis. Anybody else?
It's not I think this, I think that. We need to search and see what is commanded of us.
Search it and see it. That's good, to see it. That's good. Listen, just like Sister Cook said, you know what that reminds me of? You know, Harry, I need you to fix this fence. And Harry's out there fixing the fence, and she's going to come out there and say, you know what, Harry? Let me just watch you while you do it. Faithlessness, Harry. Faithlessness, man. Honey, I promise you I'm going to fix this fence. What you doing looking over my back? There you go, sis. Get that plumb line out. Numbers chapter 13 and 14. Let's read this, see what we can glean from this. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel from each tribe of their fathers. You shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. So Moses sent from them the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now, these were the names. Now, we're not going to go through all these names, because what I want you to understand with these names is that there are 12 names here, right? 12 names. Keep that in mind, because it's going to end up being how many names left?
Two
names. Two names out of 12. All right, so let's skip the names and go to verse number 17. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people dwell in it, whether they're strong or weak, whether they're a lot or few, or whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, or whether the cities inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether they're forests or they're not forests. You be of good courage. Be of good courage. And bring some of the fruit from the land so we can see what it's like, because it's grape season right now. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron. Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were there. Ooh, here we go. Now, Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Anybody know anything about Zoan? You remember those words? You ever heard Zoan before? You've heard it, but you know, you just probably don't remember. Remember when Sodom and Gomorrah was struck? Where did Lot go? To Zoan. That's where he went. Yeah. Check it out and see. Then they came into the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with a cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They bought pomegranates and figs. The place was called Eshcol because the cluster of them, of which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now keep that in mind too, that number right there. That's a good number, right? 40, that's a good number. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron. All the congregation of children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh brought back the word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." Well, you remember when God said that he was going to promise them a land, he was going to give them a land? What kind of land he said he was going to give them? How do you describe that land? So what did they see? What was the problem? What's the problem? Look, we see a land right here. Look, guys, look, this land is flowing with milk and honey. Yeah, we about to get that. And this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land, they're strong. Their cities are impenetrable. They're fortified. They're large. Moreover, we saw Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and all along the banks of the Jordan. God told them the people was going to be there too, didn't he? Every last one that's named, he said they're going to be there. And he says they're going to be there, and I don't want y'all mingling with them. I don't want y'all to marry them. I don't want nothing going on with them. Right? So here's the promises of God being kept, right? This is exactly what he said. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let's go get them and take possession, for we will." Caleb, I like that. I love that. Now you got 12 men that went up there, and you got 11 of them telling the story, and Caleb jumped up and said, "Listen, guys, we can take this thing. You know what y'all are talking about? Because our faith is in God. At least mine is. But we got 10 of y'all that's faithless and fearful. How do we do in our lives when God sends us into something that we really don't know? Sometimes I think it's good that we don't know what's ahead of us, because things happen every day of our lives. And if I had to script my own life, I would have messed that thing up. Would still be messing it up. We need to take God's lead in everything, and everything. But then the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't go against these people. They're stronger than us." And he gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out. "The land through which you have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people who saw it are men of great stature." These big men. You know what? I think that's where we get the fact that we just afraid of big men from right here. Are we scared of big men? What is that? "They saw us. These people are giants and look at us as grasshoppers." Isn't that something? And not only that, they've convinced me in my mind that we grasshoppers to them too. That's incredible. Our fear can do some things to you, can't it? But God says, "I want you to go and spy it out." God sent them to go spy it out, and this is the report they come back with. Chapter 14. "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept all night long. The children complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died.'" Here we go again. That same old song, right? They keep playing it over and over. Side A and side B. "Why the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our children should be victims. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Let's select a leader and let's go back." Now, what does that remind you of? What happened at the mountain? Moses went up. When he came back down, what had happened? They had selected a leader and they had went back on God. Golden calf came up. Let's pick somebody else. Let's just go. Let's go with that. Here come Moses and Aaron, fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly a good land. The Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with honey. So don't rebel against the Lord, nor fill the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said, well, we're about to kill y'all. So you got 10 folks, the majority, then convinced the whole congregation of people. I remember from the beginning when they were numbered, there were 603,550 soldiers, right? Then women and children. 10 men convinced all those people against one God that we can't take them. How much of influence do we have when it comes to a crowd? Does a crowd influence us? Or can one God influence our lives in such a way that we know we are faithful to God no matter what the crowd is doing? Because crowds out there doing a whole lot of things, right? And we're in the wilderness, we're in the middle of the crowd. And the crowd is so intense. Think about this. We get in the middle of the crowd and they're pushing us around like on the streets of the French Quarter during Mardi Gras. You just go with the crowd. Wherever they go, you go, right? Think about that. So wherever these 10 men here, who really not the crowd, but they're the majority of the 12, they're pushing over 603,550 soldiers, wives, and children away from God. How many men does it take to drive you away from God? How many? Anybody got an answer for that? How many? That's right. One. What you say, Sister Brown? He about to remind them, too. He about to remind them. One person it takes to drive us away from God, and that one person is us. Because our faith determines whether we're going to follow God or not, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And those that are going to follow him, they must listen to his very word, not themselves. He's going to let them know that. Let's kill these men. Four men we're going to kill. We got 10 that said we can't do it. You got four people who try to lead us and tell us we can. Let's kill them. Select us another leader and go on back to Egypt. They're rejecting God, aren't they? They're just rejecting God. Let's go back to sin. Listen, it's a terrible thing when you turn away from God, when you go back out into the world. It's a terrible thing. Spiritually and even sometimes physically, it damages life because you find yourself not able to come back because you find yourself dead out there. You die out there. How long will these people reject me, the Lord said to Moses? How long? And how long will they not believe me, faithless, with all the signs I perform among them? Sister Brown, you remind them. All the things I've done for y'all to make you a nation that's great and mighty. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to strike y'all now with a pestilence. And I will, you ever disown your chair? Sometimes you get to a point in your life where you know you just don't like them. It's still yours, right? But you just don't like them. I like mine now. I do. But Moses says, look, Lord, if you disinherit these children, you don't go with us, the Egyptians are going to hear about that, right? How you brought them out by your mighty hand and you told them you was going to give them this land. They've heard that you are among these people, that you, Lord, you're among your people. You go before them in a pillar of a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. But if you kill these people as one man, what will everybody else think? They've heard of your fame. And they're going to say, because the Lord was not able to bring these people out of the land which he swore to give them, he killed them in the wilderness. Let my Lord, he said, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, Lord, you're long-suffering. How are we doing with that? Do we understand that God is long-suffering in our lives as well? Moses said, Lord, you're long-suffering and you're abundant in mercy. What about the mercy that God gives us in abundance? Do we think about that? He forgives our iniquity and our transgression. But he still doesn't clear the guilty, does he? Because you still have consequences for the things that you do. We all do. Some are good consequences, some are not so good consequences. But look what he's saying. I'm going to visit this guilt that you kicked me in the teeth. So we're going to go to the children of the third and fourth generation. Lord, pardon the ignorance of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven the people from Egypt, Sister Brown, forgave them from Egypt up until now. The Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because these men have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have put me to the test. How many times? These 10 times. That's a lot, man. 10 times. You didn't listen to me. And because you didn't, you shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers. Nor shall none of those who rejected me see it. Listen, it's a lot of people that think they're going to heaven, but they're not listening to God. And he says, crystal clear right here, because you're not listening to me. And these were his people already, people he had chosen already. And there are those among the called who are not going to hear what the Lord has to say. And because we don't listen, because we reject him, you hear what he's saying? You're not going in. You're not going in. Peter says to the Jews of dispersion in 1 Peter 4, if the righteous are scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? This is something that's serious. And it didn't just start in our generation. It started generations before. Rejecting God, being faithless. But my servant Caleb, he got a different spirit. He followed me fully. I'm going to bring him to the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow, I'm going to turn y'all around. Y'all going back. 11 miles from the land of Canaan. 11 miles. What's 11 miles from here? Give me an idea. What's 11 miles? What do you think? About from here to mid-city, about 11 miles. About from here to one of the hospitals up there, like LCMC. Is that about 11? So they in walking distance. They in hollering distance. Just cross the river, right? Cross that Jordan River, right? We cross the Mississippi in hollering distance, 10, 11 miles. And we gonna turn all the way around and go back the same way we came before. That's incredible.
Ah,
you right about that, huh? Yes, ma'am.
If we're honest with ourselves, many of us have walked away from God many times through our language, through our treatment of our families, through lack of integrity on the jobs. We feel many times because we go through the ritual of showing up to the building. But it's your daily life, your mindset, on God or not. It's those internal things that God sees, and he knows the real us. And we just fake it half the time. You know, we sitting here, maybe today in the building among saints, but mine somewhere else. You know, our lives have to be transformed, have to be focused on the things of God and not just what we want to do.
Faithless, as it describes it. Faithless and fearful. For what reason? 10 times since you left Egypt, you didn't complain against me, he said. 10 times. So how long shall I bear with this? Look what he called them. Evil congregation who complains against me. I've heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do. This is incredible here, right? The carcasses of you whom have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered, remember, 603,550, according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb and Joshua, by shall no means enter the land which I swore to make you dwell in. Now think about that. Think about that. You got people that's 20 years old, right, and above, that left Egypt, and now they're on the cusp of going to the land of Canaan. And he says, you know what? Y'all going to die right here in the wilderness. We're turning y'all around right now. Because you complained about me for far too long. This is the 10th time How many times are you going to complain and still expect to get what you want? But what's ironic to me is they can't see for the fact that God has promised to give it to them. Can't see that. God has promised to give us a lot of things in our lives, spiritual blessings. Some of them we don't even count. And we don't count them because we can't see them. We don't fully recognize them because we are faithless. Faithless. And God is not. Let me tell you, he's going to keep his promises. Peter said that too, right? God's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. But God is faithful. So we need to be faithful as well, because he's given us every promise that he said he was going to give us. He has kept every last one of them. We vow to follow him. They said it from the very beginning when he got up to leave from that mountainside to go to the land of Canaan. First of all, they complained and says, "What are we going to do? We're going to follow you, Lord. We're going to follow you. Cloud by day, fire by night. We coming." And now they're about to die in the wilderness because they didn't keep that promise that they swore themselves. Your little ones, whom you said was going to be victims, they can go in. And they're going to know the land which you have despised, but it's for you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness. Here's that number. 40 years, and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. According to the number of days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you shall bear the guilt 1 year, namely 40 years. And you know, that's why they wandered 40 years in the desert, right? That's the reason. Not simply because they rejected God and they went 40 years and then went in. No. One day, they spied out the land for 40 days. And each day added up to 1 year. And he's punishing them until that generation dies. One generation is 40 years. What happened, though, after that? Immediately, the 10 that complained against the land, that despised the land, that turned the people against God, what happened to them? That's incredible. God doesn't do that same thing to us today, does he? Boy, if he would kill us, huh? We had this many people in Bible study. Since he just got through saying, right? 10 complaints, and they still wasn't dead, but after this 10th one, it's over for you now. You're dying in the wilderness. Listen, we got to understand in our lives right now whether we die in the wilderness or not, because there's a lot of us that have been turned around. We have superficial faith. Our faith in God isn't as it ought to be, and we have turned away from God. Sometimes not even purposeful, but we have turned because we're not focused. As the beginning of the number said, God is in the center of our lives. Each morning that we wake up, we should see and enjoy his presence. And our lives ought to be geared from that particular point on. God says, go into the land and spy it out. 12 of y'all go. They bring back good news and they bring back not so good news. We want to go in, but we can't go in. Why? Because the men are greater than you, God. That's what they're saying. These men are big. Their fortress is impenetrable. And even though you're with us, God, we can't do it. So what do they do after all of that? What do they do after all of that? After they find out what the consequences are behind their complaints against God, behind their rejection of God, they say, well, we can go take the land anyway now. So they want to do it now simply because they got caught, not because they're repenting, because they really feel the repentance is needed in their lives. A lot of people do things because they get caught, not because they're sorry. Yes, ma'am.
But the kid told them, oh, they wanted to do it at their time. They decided he was brave, now they wanted to try to go. And the kid said, no, I don't think y'all should go because, please don't do it because God won't bless you.
He didn't take his spirit away from you. So they want to do it on their own.
That's right.
Do it on their own. First of all, they say, we can't fight these men, right? Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden we can fight them now. Mm-hmm. But they've created within themselves a death penalty. You know, James talks about that all the time. James says that temptation comes in your life first, and temptation brings along desire, Desire brings along temptation, and temptation brings us to sin, and sin brings us to... We've got to have a desire to make it to the promised land. We've got to have a desire to know that God promises are faithful in our lives. He is faithful. And whenever we wane away from that, we find ourselves in the same predicament. We find ourselves complaining against God and what he has promised to give us. That's a key word. He says, I'm going to give it to you. All you got to do is just walk in there and take it. I'm giving it to you. Oh, I don't want it. I went in there, looked at it. I've saw the things that's flowing with milk and honey. I see that, but they got a lot more in there than milk and honey, God. In my mind, they got folks in there who are going to try to just chew me up and spit me out. They're bigger than you, God. Their fortress is inhabitable. I mean, impenetrable, God. What are we going to do? Straight rejection. We got in these two chapters, we got investigation of the land. All right. We got a report from the people. And we got a reaction of the people. They say, we're gonna kill y'all four guys. We out of here. We didn't investigate it. We already saw what we need to see. Let's go back to Egypt. You think Egypt was better than that? Not in my mind. Not better than that. Because their heart was not with God. Oh, did they ever? Not only did they complain, they were not free. They were not free. So what's the difference in being free and complaining and being slaves of evil, sinfulness, and still, what's the difference? There's no difference. It's still all sin. We've been set free. And we roam in this wilderness. God has put us in this wilderness, and we are the church. We are his children, and he's called out for his mission. And dare we complain against the things that he has promised to give us? We're grateful for many things. And one of the things I'm grateful for is this is like Moses interceded for those people. God has sent the Christ that intercedes for us. Because we're on the same mission, we're on the same journey. God has promised us heaven. The Ecclesiastical writer says that God has put eternity in the hearts of all men. It's in us. Now, we're on our mission to get there. We're on our journey. We don't know how long it's going to take. As a matter of fact, we don't even know where we're going. We've heard of the place. We've heard of heaven. Never been there. Only the one that's the way, the truth, and the light has been there. And he comes to lead us. And we're still not satisfied with his leadership. We still want to do it our own way. Some people in the world, that's what they do. They don't want to hear what God has to say. They want to do it their own way. They don't want to follow the Christ. People are more addicted to church. They love church more than they love God. Right? Am I right? We got to get that together. We love self more than we love God. We love things more than we love God. And when fear comes into our lives, we fearful because we are not faithful. That's why we fearful. But God can give us anything. There's nothing that's impossible with God. He can give us anything. Fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Anything is the key. But we get absolutely nothing when we are faithless and fearful and not able to take the things that God told us to go ahead on and take it. I'm going to give it to you, into your hands. And they have seen that time and time again in all those battles. The Bible says Moses didn't go up there with them, neither did the Ark of the Covenant go. And they got beat down. Beat down. They wasn't satisfied enough that 10 men that just died in front of them. And God says, I'm going to turn you around, and you're going to go back into the wilderness. Now, we're not going back in the wilderness. We're going to go fight them ourselves. We're going to go in ourselves then, whether you're with us or not. Because we have been guilty, and now we are certainly we're reaping these consequences. So we're going to try to rectify it ourselves. We're going to go in and take the land now ourselves. Why you got to take it when God was giving it to you? And he's still going to give it to him because of his kindness and his mercy. because of his long suffering. He's still going to give it to the people that he promised it to inherit the land. Just like us. He's still going to give it to us. He's going to give us heaven because he has promised us heaven. And he's coming back to get us, to deliver us up until the fall, the 1 Corinthians 15. The church. We're the church in the wilderness. And God responds to us each and every time. Responds to us. And the book of Numbers is relevant to our lives simply because, just like them, we're in the wilderness as well. And we're on our way to the promised land. I mean, that's something we ought to just be shouting from every street corner about. We're going to the promised land. We're going where God is. That's why we want to go to heaven, because God is there, not because they got no streets of gold. That's, come on now, it's a simile. Why we need streets of gold? Why do we need all this? It's an idea, because we have carnal minds to picture things that are beautiful and wonderful as to what heaven might be like. Well, it's not like that, right? He said, when I come back, it's going to be sheep and goats, right? You think we're going to be sheep and goats? That's, again, that's similes, right? One thing that we will be, we will either be faithful or not faithful. Even that's the question. Will there be any faithful found when I come? Where will the faithful be? What are you going to be? Who are you going to be following? How many people will it take? How many tests, how many obstacles are going to get in your way on this journey? How many hardships are going to befall you in this journey? How many tests are you going to put God to? There's a lot of difficulties in this journey that we are. It's not easy being a Christian. It's not. God never said it was going to be. But how many times are we going to complain about that? Are we going to walk by faith? Or are we going to walk by what we see? By sight. We walk by faith. But too many people make their decisions in their lives based on what they see. But they can only see what's in front of them. They can't see what God sees. He told them a long time ago, there's a land that's out there that I got for you, and it's flowing with milk and honey. And they came to the land and they saw the same thing God said. It's going to be like that with us as well. We're going to see the same promises that God has told us about. And he will give them to us. We only have to be what? Is that F word? Faithful. It's like Revelation 10 says, we have to be faithful unto. Yeah. Yeah. We can't go off the deep end at the very end. Oh, I got my ticket punched now. But you're not going in. You're holding your ticket in your hand, dead outside the door. What good the ticket, did you? And it's punched, too. But you're not going. Isn't that incredible? The bad news is, every last one of us has failed at this. Every last one of us. But the good news is, the reality of our lives is Christ. That's the good news. He leads us by day. He leads us by night in this wilderness that we're in. This wilderness that's filled with sin. This wilderness filled with contempt and complaints and deceit and false pretense, like the sister said. We got to make into our minds what we're going to do, because all of us have complained and all of us have put trust in ourselves. And that's the key right there. Do we trust in God to do the things that he has promised to do for us in our lives? That's the issue, is trust. It's a trust issue. That's why she went out there to that fence when Harry was fixing it, because it was a trust issue. I love you, Harry, but I'm going to stand over you because I want this fence done right. I'm counting planks. Right? I'm trusting you to put 11 in, but look like you just got 10. People decide to follow their own hearts in a lot of different ways, and we do as well. We find that they followed their own hearts, their evil hearts and desires, because they rejected God and decided they were going to kill the four people that were faithful. What happened to Stephen? Decided they was going to kill him too, didn't he? Faithful, faithful. What happened to Paul? Decided they was going to try to kill him. Well, that man took so many beatings, I guess he might have wished he was dead, right? He said, I got to try to decide whether I want to be with y'all or whether I want to go back, which is better, right? What about the Christ? What did they do to the Christ? They killed him. They killed him. Their hearts and their minds were set, bent on that. But in our rebellion, what we need to understand often and always is that Jesus goes before us to the throne of God for us. He mediates for us. And we're not so bad. Because when God sees us, those of us that are in Christ, he sees the Christ in us. And his glory. His glory is shown before the whole world. Let me tell you what happened here with Moses, just before we close this down. And that's what we need to see as well. God says, you know what? I'm tired of them. I'm going to kill them right where they're at. And that's just going to be it. And I'm going to start with you, Moses. I'm going to start all over with you. Moses is going to say, all right, I'm the man. Let's make a family out of me. But God promised it to who? Abraham and his descendants, right? Moses didn't get into all that. Moses said, look, God, I'm looking at your character. That's what he was doing, right? And we have to look at the character of God as well. Whether he blesses us or whether he punishes us for sin, it's the character of God that's always on display with the world. And how we live and how we move and breathe, how we speak, how we interact with the world, and even in the church, we show the character of God in our lives. That's what Moses did. Moses said, look, God, I see your character. Oh, I see you. They've done you something wrong, but you are long-suffering. Remember that. Your loving kindness goes beyond what I can even think or imagine. Remember that. You are a forgiving God. We got to remember that. The character of God. Because that was in question in chapters 13 and 14 was his character. Did he lie to us and tell us that we wasn't going to get? No, he was going to give us the promised land. Did he lie to us? Nope. There's flowing milk and honey, just like he said. I'd have been fired up about that. Can you imagine? Can you imagine somebody stand up in the middle of this class right now and telling us what we're going to see 10 years from now? And 10 years from now, we get there and we say, man, what? And he said, well, that scoundrel just guessed that. That was just a lucky guess, right? No guessing with God, none. Whatever he promises to us, he gives to us because our God is faithful. It's about his character. And how dare we question the character of God when we have no character at all ourselves? We're talking about spiritual character right here. But Ephesians chapter 2, let me read this to you because we got to keep this in mind. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And when you were dead in the trespasses and your sins in which you once walked, all of us, right? Found the course of this world, found the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by the nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind, it says. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. That's a gift, right? And raised up with him and seated on the right hand in heavenly places with Christ, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For as by grace you have been saved through faith, this is not of your own selves, it is a gift. Promise to give it to you. You got to take it. Not a result of works, and no man can boast. A gift of God. Gift of God. So let me wrap this up for you, because there's nothing new under the sun. Here's what the Hebrew writer says about us and about the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. Listen to God here. Therefore, As the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. On the day of testing in the wilderness, which is what we're talking about right now, right? Where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with the generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. You take care, brothers, lest there be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Faithless. But exhort the one every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, who have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. 40 years was a generation for them, and 40 years is a generation for us. That word 40, we talked about it earlier, right? Noah. 40, right, with Noah, right? 40 days, 40 nights. Incredible, right? What was the next 40? Did Moses have any 40s in his life? 40 years in Egypt. 40 years he left to be a sheep herder, a goat herder. And then 40 years where? In the wilderness with your people. 40. That's a generation we got to think about. Because that's a wonderful number when it comes to understanding God and his will, right? 40. I thank you all for paying attention today in the class and really for your comments and your understanding that God is going to be who he said he is. His character will not supersede, his character will supersede anything that we can think or imagine in our lives because God is who he said he is. Next week, we got more rebellion, right? We're going to look at Numbers 15 and 16. More rebellion. So they're still not satisfied with the fact that he's turning them away from the land of promise because of their initial rebellion, initial complaints. So God is going to give us even more things to think about on next week. So let's look at that and let's be ready for that class as well. Anybody got any closing remarks you want to add or say anything about this particular lesson? What you might have got out of it, what you can add to it, anything like that? Anybody? Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for leading our lives and guiding us into the wonderful light of your daughter and son, Jesus Christ. As we live our lives, Father, we ask that you might pardon us for our sins, for we know that we sin and fall short of your glory each and every day of our lives. And when we complain, Father, we ask that you might indeed show your long-suffering, your patience, and your kindness in our lives as well, and forgive us for those sins of complaining. For we know full well that we can't do anything on our own, even though we endeavor to do so. We thank you, Father, for the Christ who leads the way, and that's that he might continue to intervene for us in our lives, and that the Holy Spirit might lead, guard, and guide, and direct us into all things concerning you and your will for our lives. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this class. Ask that our hearts and minds might have been open to receive this word, and that meek and engrafted word will save our souls. These and all blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.